insects are everywhere. Just look and see, underneath the rocks, climbing up the trees. Just look in your garden or in your front yard. You shouldn't really have to look very hard. Ladybugs, grasshoppers, bumblebees, out along the branches, munching on some leaves. Beetles, crickets, stink bugs too. Leafhoppers, army ants, just to name a few. There are millions of ants and they're hard at work, digging their tunnels under the earth, looking for a picnic or just a bit of food. Oh, just a few crumbs left over from you. Oh, when they find it, they think it's really great. One little ant can carry twice his weight. They bring the food back to the colony, where all those ants have just gone queen. Slowly inching by. One day she hopes to be a butterfly. When she finds a spot with just enough room, she goes to work on her cocoon. Caterpillar sleeping, dreaming now, all about flowers and flying around. Out of the chrysalis, ready to fly. That's how caterpillars become butterflies.
Do you get mad when your parents ask you to clean your room? Just job it would be if you had to clean up the whole outer space. A little alien named Beezer did, and boy, was he tired. There was a little alien named Beezer who loved to dance and to play. But sometimes there was work to do, so he scrubbed and he cleaned all day. He polished the rings around Saturn and spackled the face of the moon. He installed central heating on Pluto. It took him all afternoon. He air-conditioned Mercury and sharpened the dullest stars. He took a meteor shower, then dusted the planet Mars. He fluffed the clouds around Venus and juggled Jupiter's moons. Now he'll paint a big smile on the Earth and go rest in his outer space room.
Beginning to end, he sits on his perch and he sings. This is what he has to say. Says Q R S T U V W X Y Z. Q R S T U V W X Y Z. That's what he sings to me, my parrot in the tree. Now you know your ABCs. Come along and sing with me. It starts with A and it ends with C. Let's make sure everyone's ready. Damien, are you ready?
I'm ready, Craig.
Kids, are you ready?
Yeah!
All right, everybody, sing along with us and Perry. Z. Very good, kids. Let's try that one more time. Perry wants to hear you sing it one more time. Here we go. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
H is next.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Here comes Q.
Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. That's what he sings to me. Now you know your ABCs. It starts with A and it ends with C. They'll help you speak and spell just right. You'll use them every day and night.
Hey you, I wanna to see his letter, it's a time to have to rely. Le pinto los labios, le arreglo el pelo. Le pinto las uñas, me pongo el vestido. I have this body with brown skin, me and friends gonna dance in all night. I've got to end of this one week, gonna break one night to rely.
Back in 1963, High up in a jungle tree lived a group of monkeys who would sing in harmony. The sound they made was mighty fine. They banged on sticks and twanged a vine. People came from all around to see those monkeys shine. There was Mick and Dave and Pete. They could really make you scratch your armpits and stamp your feet. And the monkeys sing. They sold out gigs wherever they'd go. Before too long, well, what do you know? Someone came and offered them their very own TV show. Week after week, as the theme song would play, everyone would sing along. We're the monkeys, hey, hey. And the monkeys sing. Audiences said, what charismatic gents. But the critics claimed they don't even play their instruments. That wasn't true. Those monkeys could jam. Monkey. Show was dropped in 74. Had a good run, well, that's for sure. So then they milked their fame for years on an endless comeback tour. The show still does well from the syndication rights. You can catch the reruns every morning on Nick at Night. And the monkeys sing. And the monkeys say, I'm in love, I'm a banana eater, I'm in love, I'm a banana eater. Take the last line to Clarksville.
Drops. I have a special guest today. I was off exploring mermaid territory and I came across a cave where there was a sleepy, fiery breath dragon, and he wanted to come and speak to us today. Dragon, be nice though, because there's kids listening, so you have to be in a good mood.
The dragon is always nice to children, because children are so much smarter than adults. I know that you have to honor your mommies and daddies because they are the ones who give you cookies and all of that, baths and everything. But children, remember that you are the blessed ones because you are the ones who will create the future.
Oh, dragon. So, dragon, did you find anything special today in the sea?
There are many special things in the sea. Everything is special in the sea. You have to be more specific than that, well, mermaid.
Well, any gemstones or special treasures that maybe ships have left?
I found one very, very, very special stone.
Ooh, describe.
Well, to look into this stone is to look into the heart of the universe itself.
Ooh.
Do you think that today all the children out there could find something special?
Yes, they can, because you know where this stone is?
Where?
It is in the heart of everyone in the universe. Ha ha!
Oh, silly, silly dragon.
It is everywhere. It is in the heart of the children themselves. Ha 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 ha! I love you, children. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, I'm so glad you're in a good mood today, Dragon. I think the children should make mud pies today. What do you think?
I think mud pies are good, but not as tasty as fruit pies.
That's right. That's right. But they're so fun to create. You can make
of
designs.
They are. Are pies made out of clay and dough? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. There's different types of ways to make pies. And if anybody out there knows how to make really good pies that's listening, you can call in at, Dragon, give the number.
360-352-1646.
And we'd love to hear your pies. I'm going to play a really, really awesome song that I think you all will enjoy. Maybe even the dragon will enjoy it.
I enjoy all music. I am the one who invented music. Even though you mermaids don't believe me, it's true.
Okay, let's hear this song.
Thank you.
back. This is Mermaid Ashley, and we have some exciting news because we have an awesome, awesome, awesome story of the week, and it's called Flawed Dogs by Berkeley Breathids. I think his last name is spelled BREATHED'S.
Flawed Dogs.
Yes, Dragon. This is an awesome book. It is hilarious.
This is why you children are so much more intelligent than adult grown-up humans, because human children know that there are no flawed dogs. Even if a dog looks funny or only has three legs or no tail, that dog is still fun to play with.
That is right.
Just like there are no flawed children, because all children are friends with all children, because children love everything and they know there are no flaws in anything.
That's right.
But grown-ups grow up and, you know, they start to see flaws. But that is why you children are so special. But as you remind the grown-ups of when they were children, and you remind them of how beautiful the world is in all of its flaws and in all of its perfection. And so that is why you must make your parents laugh today. Ha 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 ha.
Thanks, Dragon. That was awesome. Like I said, Flawed Dogs is just an awesome book. It has great illustration, and it's just sure to get everybody in the family laughing. So if you can check that out at your local library, that is awesome book. Next, we're going to play a really awesome story. It's by Hans Christian Andersen, and these stories can be found at www.storynory.com. All these stories are free to listen to. So for the next 15 minutes, we're going to have a lovely first beginning to Snow Queen. And it's really exciting. Would Dragon like to say any final words to the audience of all our fairies and gumdrops out there?
Well, Dragon would simply like to say that I know that D's going to come on and he's going to get all serious after this show with Air Olympia. So if you don't want your kids to have to hear the seriousness, but all you parents out there would like to hear the seriousness of what is going on in your city and in your world, then Air Olympia will be on next from 2 to 4. But otherwise, it might be time to take a nap for the children.
Have a wonderful day, and just remember that every day is a beautiful day, and Miss Mermaid is off to her sea land.
And KOWA loves you very much. The dragon is off to sea land as well. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen. Hello, this is Natasha, and this is the first part of one of the most beautiful fairy tales ever written. It's rather long, so I'm going to be reading it in three parts. It's called The Snow Queen by Hans Christian. There was once a dreadfully wicked hobgoblin. One day he was in capital spirits because he had made a looking glass which reflected everything that was good and beautiful in such a way that it dwindled almost to nothing. But anything that was bad and ugly stood out very clearly and looked much worse. The most beautiful landscapes looked like boiled spinach, and the best people looked repulsive or seemed to stand on their heads with no bodies. Their faces were so changed that they could not be recognised, and if anyone had a freckle, you might be sure it would be spread over the nose and mouth. "That was the best part of it," said the hobgoblin. But one day, the looking glass was dropped, and it broke into a million, billion and more pieces. And now came the greatest misfortune of all. For each of the pieces was hardly as large as a grain of sand, and they flew about all over the world. And if anyone had a bit in his eye, there it stayed. And then he would see everything awry, or else could only see the bad sides of anything. For every tiny splinter of the glass possessed the same power that the whole glass had. Some people got a splinter in their hearts, and that was dreadful, for then it began to turn into a lump of ice. The hobgoblin laughed till his sides ached, but still the tiny bits of glass flew about. And now we will hear all about it. In a large town where there were so many people and houses that there was not room enough for everybody to have gardens, lived two poor children. They were not brother and sister, but they loved each other just as much as if they were. Their parents lived opposite one another in two attics, and out on the leads they had put two boxes filled with flowers. There were sweet peas in it, and two rose trees, which grow beautifully. And in the summer the two children were allowed to take their little chairs and sit out under the roses. Then they had splendid games. In the winter they could not do this, but then they put hot pennies against the frozen window panes and made round holes to look at each other through. His name was Kay, and hers was Gerda. Outside it was snowing fast.
"Those are the white bees swarming," said the old grandmother.
"Have they also a queen bee?" asked the little boy, for he knew that the real bees have one.
"To be sure," said the grandmother. "She flies wherever they swarm the thickest. She is larger than any of them, and never stays upon the earth, but flies again up into the black clouds. Often at midnight she flies through the streets and peeps in at all the windows, and then they freeze in such pretty patterns and look like flowers."
"Yes, we have seen that," said both the children. They knew that it was true. "Can the Snow Queen come in here?" asked the little girl.
"Just let her," cried the boy. "I would put her on the stove and melt her."
But the grandmother stroked his hair and told him some more stories. In the evening, while Kay was going to bed, he jumped up on the chair by the window and looked through the little hole. A few snowflakes were falling outside, and one of the largest lay on the edge of the window boxes. The snowflake grew larger and larger till it took the form of a maiden dressed in finest white gauze. She was so beautiful and dainty, but all of ice, hard, bright ice. Still, she was alive. Her eyes glittered like two clear stars, but there was no rest or peace in them. She nodded at the window and beckoned with her hand. The little boy was frightened and sprang down from the chair. It seemed as if a great white bird had flown past the window. The next day, there was a harder frost than before. Then came the spring, then the summer, when the roses grew and smelt more beautifully than ever. Kay and Gerda were looking at one of their picture books. The clock in the great church tower had just struck 5, when Kay exclaimed, "Oh, something has stung my heart, and I've got something in my eye." The little girl threw her arms round his neck. He winked hard with both eyes. No, she could see nothing in them. "I think it's gone now," said he. But it had not gone. It was one of the tiny splinters of the glass of the magic mirror which we have heard about, that turned everything great and good reflected in it to small and ugly. And poor Kay had also a splinter in his heart, and it began to change into a lump of ice. It did not hurt him at all, but the splinter was there all the same. "Why are you crying?" he asked. "It makes you look so ugly." "There's nothing the matter with me. Just look, that rose is all slug-eaten, and this one is stunted. What ugly roses they are!" And he began to pull them to pieces. "Kay, what are you doing?" cried the little girl. And when he saw how frightened she was, he pulled off another rose and ran in at the window away from dear little Gerda. When she came later on with the picture book, he said that it was only fit for babies. And when his grandma stories, he was always interrupting with, "But..." And then he would get behind her and put on her spectacles and speak just as she did. This he did very well, and everybody laughed. Very soon he could imitate the way all the people in the street walked and talked. His games were quite different now. On a winter's day, he would take a burning glass and hold it out on his blue coat and let the snowflakes fall on it. "Look in the glass, Gerda. Just see how regular they are. They are much more interesting than real flowers. Each is perfect. They are all made according to rule. If only they did not melt." One morning, Kay came out with his warm gloves on and his little sledge hung over his shoulder. He shouted out to Gerda, "I am going to the marketplace to play with the other boys." And away he went. In the marketplace, the boldest boys used often to fasten their sledges to the carts of the farmers, and then they got a good ride. When they were in the middle of their games, there drove into the square a large sledge, all white, and in it sat a figure dressed in a rough white fur pelisse, with a white fur cap on. The sledge drove twice round the square, and Kay fastened his little sledge behind it and drove off. It went quicker and quicker into the next street. The driver turned round and nodded to Kay in a friendly way, as if they had known each other before. Every time that Kay tried to unfasten his sledge, the driver nodded again, and Kay sat still once more. Then they drove out of town, and the snow began to fall so thickly that the little boy could not see his hand before him. And on they went. He quickly unfastened the cord to get loose from the big sledge. But it was of no use. His little sledge hung on fast, and it went on like the wind. Then he cried out. The snowflakes grew larger and larger till they looked like great white birds. All at once, they flew aside. The large sledge and the figure who was driving stood up. The fur cloak and cap were all of snow. It was a lady, tall and slim and glittering. It was the Snow Queen. "We have come at a good rate," she said. But you are almost frozen. Creep in under my cloak. And she set him close to her in the sledge and drew the cloak over him. He felt as though he was sinking into a snowdrift. Are you cold now? She asked and kissed his forehead. The kiss was as cold as ice and reached down into his heart, which was already half a lump of ice. My sledge! Don't forget my sledge! He thought of that first, and it was fastened to one of the great white birds who flew behind with a sledge on its back. The Snow Queen kissed Kay again, and then he forgot all about his little Gerda, his grandmother, and everybody at home. Now I must not kiss you any more, she said, or else I should kiss you to death. Then away they flew, over forests and lakes, over sea and land. Round them whistled the cold wind, the wolves howled, and the snow hissed. Over them flew the black shrieking crows. But high up the moon shone large and bright, and thus Kay passed the long winter night. In the day he slept at the Snow Queen's feet. And that was the first part of The Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen. I'll be back soon to tell you what happened next to Kay and Gerda. But in the meantime, don't forget that you can find loads more stories at storynori.com. So until next time, from me, Natasha, bye-bye!
Round one. Ramp, ramp, ramp one. Ramp, 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 ramp one.
La del día a día, la que nunca acaba, pero vamos a empezarla con ganas. Creo que hoy podemos ganarla con mi ejército de sonrisas. Vamos a plantarle cara a la presa con mi ejército de verdades. No se disparan balas. We'll be right back. menuda pantera.
Y ahora voy a ser
menuda pantera. Y ahora voy a ser como una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva. Voy a ser como una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva. Voy a ser como una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva. Voy a ser como una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva. Voy a ser como una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva. Voy a ser como una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva. Voy a ser como una pantera, una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva. Voy a ser como una pantera, una pantera negra, una pantera de la selva.
KOWA at 106.5 FM is a low-powered community radio station in Olympia, Washington, Cascadia. KOWA's mission is to give voice to individuals, organizations, and movements working for social justice, economic democracy, ecological sustainability, and peace. We also play music.